Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
News Radio 840 WHAS welcomes you to Jim Strader Outdoors, the area's leading authority on hunting and fishing. Jim Strader Outdoors is brought to you by Mossy Oak Properties Hart Realty. For the outdoor home of your dreams, call Paul Thomas at 270-524-1980. Linden Animal Clinic, your pet's best friend. Sportsman's Taxidermy. Visit them at sportsmanstaxidermy.com. A.N. Roth Heating and Cooling, a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in the Louisville area. Wildlife Habitat Solutions. Check Jim and his team on Facebook at Wildlife Habitat Solutions and SMI Marine. Getting your boat back on the water in no time. To join in on the conversation, call us at 571-8484 inside Louisville and 1-800-444-8484 outside the metro. Now, sit back and relax and enjoy the next 2 hours of Jim Strader Outdoors on News Radio 840 WHAS.
We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Good evening, everybody. Jim Strader here. Welcome to tonight's show, which falls on the shortest day of the year. This is what I call the dark day. It's got a lot of influence on a lot of different critters. It certainly did today. The deer were very, very active feeding today. Squirrels and deer. I had lots of activity. Did not kill a buck, but was real pleased with my sit. Yesterday and today and this week, I'm still riding a buck tag, but as most of you are aware, I'm pretty picky about what I'll shoot. Sometimes the blood will come up my eye, and I'll take one that maybe wasn't quite as big as what I thought, but there's other reasons sometimes to shoot a deer, so I'm sure all of you are aware of that and know what I'm talking about. It's been a very unique season so far. A lot of variables have played into the scenario that we faced this year. We had early rut activity before gun season, probably about as early a serious rut activity as I've seen in a lot of years, actually. You know, the October flurry is usually a small one, merely evident in the older does that come into estrus a little early sometimes. And this gets the bucks all stirred up. The bucks, of course, are actually, in quotes, in rut from the time they shed their velvet. By that, I mean they're ready to breed. And their testosterone's up, and they are definitely going to participate. But they only start really running wild when the estrus scent is really in the air, and lots of does have started to urinate around scrapes and feeding areas, letting them know that estrus or love scent is in the air. And that's, of course, the magic time. Well, we saw a lot of that early this year. A lot of chasing, lots of fighting, probably as much fighting amongst the medium-sized and larger bucks as I've seen in many, many years in the October period this year, no doubt due to this little flurry. which helped things along. We went into the season on a fairly dark moon, which made for real good early morning and late evening sits, lots of activity just generally the first week of the season. A lot of guys and gals were lucky enough to tag really, really nice bucks, and now we've moved into this weekend, or through this weekend, I guess I should say, the second week of the season here, our second weekend, and it was unusual because we had the full moon upon us Friday. The full moon came in, ushering in a real switch in deer behavior. Deer were not nearly as active in the mornings, for example, on average, but they were active as the moon approached, say from midweek on, in late afternoons. I'm a real big believer in deer getting active around the moonrise and getting inactive or starting to filter back into bedding areas and out of feed areas as the moon sets. I've talked and written about that for years. I am certain of what I'm getting ready to tell you. I was probably one of the first, if not the first, outdoor writer in America to write consistently about the moon and its effects on deer. Richard Alden Knight, who developed the Solunar tables, of course, was the guru behind moon and its effects on animals on a daily basis. By that, I mean the major and minor solunar periods. I'm a believer in them. However, I will say that weather can hold the trump card. And you know what? Today was a perfect example of that. The moon has started rising after dark, which meant for pretty tough afternoon hunting. Now that the moon has gone full on average, I will relate an incident from yesterday to that point, but deer movement in the afternoons got later and later. Morning movements were a little more sporadic. And I had a great sit yesterday. I had an 8-point buck so close to me that I could literally smell it. I was set up in a real tricky little place for the deer. It's an old house place that they're used to feeding around. There's a bean field that's about 30 to 40 yards wide and 100-something yards long out in front of it. And, of course, they look at this old house every time they feed. And deer seem to gravitate towards old house places. I've taken a lot of deer around old dilapidated barns and buildings out in the woods. Almost seems as if it's a center of curiosity for them. And, of course, there's all kind of plants like honeysuckle vine and briar and whatnot that grows up in those little woodlots around those old dilapidated buildings. And of course, deer love to feed on them. At any rate, this buck came in, was directly upwind of me, and fed in the standing soybeans that was laced with wheat, oat, and rye as the leaves started to drop. Just broadcast in there by my good buddy Brad Graham, who's my frequent hunting partner, and that management plan works extremely well. And these deer were eating those beans like popcorn. It was unbelievable watching them just go from plant to plant, popping those beans open and eating them. And the buck finally fed to where he was, I would say at the most 10 to 12 yards from me, had no idea I was anywhere in the world, and I could smell his scent glands as if I was holding him. He was a fairly mature 8, but he didn't have much mass or point length, so I passed him, but it was still made for a very interesting hunt. And anytime I can be out in the woods and observe deer in their behavior patterns is a good day for Jimbo. So I want to say to a lot of you out there who get frustrated and put a little too much pressure on yourselves because you didn't kill a big buck on a given day or during a given period of time, just remember the real reason to be out there is to be grateful that the good Lord created these fantastic game animals for us to enjoy, not only to hunt, but to eat. They're delicious animals, very challenging animals, and gosh, what a different environment it would be without them. I know, because there weren't deer when I was young. I didn't kill my first deer until I was 21 years old, and after 50 seasons of chasing them, I can tell you I enjoy watching them as much today as I did in the old days. They're just a marvelous creature, and any day in the deer woods is a good day. The old saying, it sure beats a day in the office. And indeed, it does for those of us who have the passion for the sport. We got a special kind of program tonight. We've got stories from some individuals who have harvested really majestic whitetail deer. The theme of this show, I guess, kind of is typical and non-typical deer. I've got several hunters lined up that took giant 8-point bucks. And I am a real lover of big 8-point deer. A lot of people don't know it, but 8-point configuration in deer is more or less considered the norm. 10s, 12s, of course, non-typicals, Lord knows how many points, are a little bit different. But a big 8, a big heavy 8, that's got spread and time length shows very well, in my estimation. And the two that we're going to tell you about are whoppers. I've got pictures of two of the bucks that we're going to talk about tonight up on my Facebook page, which, of course, is Jim Strader Outdoors. And they're just really, really nice deer. The first one we're going to talk about tonight was harvested by Colton Nevitt. It's a really wild-looking, non-typical buck that he took down in Meade County, Kentucky. And we're going to talk to Colton about that. It's a great story. He's a college student that scrambled to get home in time to deer hunt on the weekends. He hunts with bow only. He took this deer during gun season with a bow that takes some guts and some dedication. I'm sure you'll agree. And so we'll be talking to him. We're also going to be talking to Pat Carden. Pat, as many of you probably remember, was the manager of my hunting and fishing expo for many, many years. After the expo, he went on and became the Kentucky State Director for the National Wild Turkey Federation. I guarantee you there's a lot of you in the audience that hunt turkeys as well as deer that have met Pat Carden. I think you'll agree he's a dedicated individual. He's a conservationist, and he is a big buck slayer. Pat and I have hunted together a lot. We strategize together throughout the year, and he's got a great story about a Monster 8. How big is this Monster 8? I'll put it to you this way. He's 22 inches wide, got 14-inch candlestick tines, and I'll let him tell you the rest of the story as we go through the program. Last but not least, we got a new gentleman that I became acquainted with. His name is Corky Lambert. Corky's another one that just harvested a gigantic 8-pointer, Meade County buck, and it is a real dandy as well. It's got a 6 1/4 mass on one antler, 5 3/4 on the other, 11 3/4, 10.5 G2s, 10-inch G3s. Just a really awesome buck. 19-inch spread. Just 26-inch beams. I mean, you're talking about a Monster 8. That's all there is to it. And I love them, and I think you all enjoy hearing these gentlemen's stories. Now, the theme for tonight is deer stories. What that means is I would love to hear from you if you have a deer story you would like to create. I'm sure a lot of you might have taken your first buck, your biggest buck ever, a deer that you dueled with for years that you finally harvested. This is a great way tonight to celebrate the sport. So I invite you to chime in with us. To do so, the numbers are 571 571- 1-800-444-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. This break is presented by SMI Marine. Tim Addington and staff are ready to get your boat winterized, and hey, it's coming. It's coming fast now. They carry Starcraft pontoons and deck boats, Falcon bass boats, and are the area's new low aluminum boat dealer. Check them out. Remember, you never get soaked by my friends at SMI Marine. Hey, we're back on Jim Strader Outdoors. We're talking deer stories tonight because we're right here smack in the middle of deer season. A lot of really nice bucks being taken around the region. Oh, this will be a great opportunity to talk some lucky hunters that I know that have scored in a big way. The leadoff on this tonight is Colton Nevitt. Colton is the son of Wade Nevitt, who owns Nevitt's Concrete down in Brandenburg, Kentucky. And I learned about this deer through Tony Brown, my good buddy from down in Brandenburg. He is good friends with Wayne, who's Colton's dad, and told me he had seen a monstrous non-typical that I needed to know about. And I'm glad he called because it's a great story. Very, very unusual young man dedicated to the sport of bow hunting. And I think you're going to enjoy it. This will probably carry over till after the news, so stay with us throughout, if you will. Colton, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, first off, tickled to death to get hooked up with you. You've taken a deer of several lifetimes, the kind of non-typical that I think all of us dream about. Again, folks, if you want to see a picture of Colton's buck, it's on my Jim Strader Outdoors Facebook page. And Colton, quite a story here in that you've taken a big buck before. You killed one that was in the 160s hunting with your dad when you were back in high school. You're currently a senior at Eastern Kentucky University studying homeland security. But tell folks why you became dedicated to the bow, and then we'll tell the story after the news break.
All right. So, you know, I'd always grown up hunting with, you know, my dad. That was something we loved to do together. And I killed a pretty good deer in high school. He was almost the 160s, pretty in that range, pretty good deer with a gun. And then after that, I kind of decided, you know, I really wanted to get into bow hunting. So over the last probably 5 years, that's all I've done is bow hunt. I haven't taken a gun out since then. But I got really passionate about it and started working on bows. Made a little bow shop in my house, got a press and all the stuff to work on them, got really into it. But I went for years without killing a deer with my bow, just because, I mean, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. But, yeah, I worked into pretty much only using my bow, not even taking a gun at all, even wearing orange and bow hunting. So just got really into it.
Well, it's fascinating that you stuck with your bow into gun season, and I've been there and done that. I dedicated more than a decade of my life to hunting bow only. In later years here, I like hunting with any weapon I can get my hands on.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean, just to, for the fun of it. And but it's extremely difficult to take a big buck with a bow, so there's a satisfaction there that's, in some regards, almost unequaled. And also, it's close range situation, which is indeed what you've had. So, folks, coming back from break, we're going to let Colton tell us all about his setup, the day that he hunted, how it unfolded, and, of course, what led to his harvest of this monstrous non-typical. Colton, look at this thing. I'm counting at least 19 points. I don't know. He's got some anything sticking every which way.
It had a 24 scoreable is what we came to turn.
Good grief.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, we'll get back to you. Folks, we'll share that again. If you got a deer story for us tonight, 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. The break is presented by Mossy Oak Properties, Hart Realty. Welcome back to Jim Strader Outdoors, everybody. Again, we're doing deer stories tonight. The numbers, if you would like to call in, have a story of your own, 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. We were talking with Colton Nevitt there before break. In the meantime, Colton, if you will hang on, we've got a caller who's on cell from Indianapolis, so I'd like to get him on here right away before he loses signal. Hey, Mike, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you just fine. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, hey, first of all, I want to say how much I appreciate your show. I listen on the iHeartRadio app all the time, and I think you're one of the best in the business, so I appreciate your show.
Hey, and, back at you, big guy. I appreciate you.
my deer story's not going to be as good as Colton's, but I just wanted to say something about, you had opened your show about you could smell that 8-point buck in your stand, and I wanted to say that on opening day for me, I saw 3 bucks almost right away. I've hunted the same land since I was a kid. It doesn't get much hunting pressure. I saw a massive 8-point buck that I thought, man, here it is. I'm ready to go. Then when I saw it in full view, half of the antlers were gone. It only had antlers on half of the head. So I passed on it and ended up taking a smaller 8. But to your point, all 3 of those bucks that I saw on opening day had the strongest scent to them, and I don't remember that. Frequently, I know what a rutting deer smells like, and it just seemed to me I could almost smell those deer before I could see them. And I don't remember, I don't know what would cause that, but when you opened your show that way, I thought, you know, that was weird, because that's the same experience I had this year with all 3 of those bucks. And I just don't remember. I don't know if it's because of the early rut. I have no explanation for it, but they were very active on opening day, a lot of movement, and I just wondered if you had any thoughts on it, or is it just because I've never paid attention before, and it's always been like that?
Well, conditions have to be almost perfect for that to occur. The wind, of course, has got to be in your face. If it's a very strong wind, that'll negate it, and for me, it's always been, you know, close proximity to the deer, although I have smelled them before from as far away as 30, 40 yards. And I frequently in the woods find scrapes by smelling them before I ever see them. That scent, once you know what it smells like, it fixates in your brain.
It does. Absolutely. I just want to just again tell everybody that it's so great to celebrate the great sport of hunting, and I can see in that land that I hunt on now my initials in the trees that I carved when I was 12 years old with my dad, and there's just no better memories that I have than those hunting trips. And now that I take my son, it is just every season's a great story when you're with family, and I know you promote that and stand for that on your show, and I just think you do so much for the outdoors and so much for the sport of hunting, and I know you got a lot of really grateful listeners. I'm one of them. I'll show I'm really interested in hearing about Colton's buck, and I wish you the very best.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate your kind comments, and all I can tell you is the good Lord has been very, very good to me throughout my outdoor career. I'm one of the luckiest guys alive, and I know that. And so I work hard to report things accurately and to give you all any little pearls of wisdom I get from other people, many of whom I'm very grateful to for what they've imparted for me. Let's get back to Colton. Colton, you still with us? Colton, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hey, Colton, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, buddy. I want to return to your story about your deer. It's the big non-typical. Again, the picture's on Jim Strader Outdoors on Facebook if you folks want to take a peek at it. Tell us about this hunt and how it developed and exactly what went on.
All right. So we had pictures of this deer. He came around and around middle of September, the middle of September started coming around the farm. So we had trail cam pictures of him. And I hadn't really gotten to go home and hunt just because college this last semester has been kind of rough on me. So I hadn't been going home to hunt too much, but I was like, I got to go. It's getting close to rut, so they're going to be running. So I might as well go ahead and home, try and get some time in the stand. I didn't really imagine I'd kill this deer, but it's just how it works out sometimes. So I went home and hunted on Saturday, saw some smaller bucks, you know, little eights and sixes running around. Didn't see any does, which was kind of weird. But that Sunday morning when I killed it the 14th, me and Dad were talking about which stands we were going to, you know, looking at the wind and everything. And we were kind of flip-flopping, doing a coin toss on who got to go to the stand that I ended up going to. So thanks, Dad, for letting me go to that one. But I was just sitting there, and it was real, real windy, probably 15-mile-an-hour wind, cold. And I was talking to one of my buddies, and I was like, man, I don't think we're going to end up seeing a deer today, texting him on the phone.
So, Colton, let me interrupt you for a second. What kind of setup was it? And this was an afternoon hunt, I assume?
Oh, this was morning. This was a morning hunt.
Oh, it was morning. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of setup was it? What were you looking over?
I was in a lock-on stand on the edge of this bedding area, this real thick bedding area that we had locked out a couple years ago. So I was in a lock-on stand on this little clearing, and sometimes we put corn out in this little clearing too. And this is where we had pictures of this deer before. So I figured all those pictures, or a lot of them, were pretty much all at night. So I didn't really think that he'd come out in the morning especially. But I was up in a lock-on about 30 yards away from where he came out in the real thick green. And I couldn't see him until he came out of those bushes, and he was literally 30 yards away whenever he stepped out. And I stood up way too fast as soon as I saw him because I knew, you know, he was that real non-typical deer. So I stood up way too fast, and then I had to catch myself, and I was like, oh, we can't do that, can't panic. So I went ahead and drew my bow, or I picked my bow up, and my heart was pounding so bad I could almost not clip my release onto the string. Yeah.
Been there and done that.
Yeah, my heart was pounding so bad I could barely clip it on there. But I finally got it on, and then I stood there for about 4 or 5 seconds while he trotted right in front of me. And he walked behind. There was like a limb, I think it was a beech tree limb hanging in front of me, so leaves on it. So he'd walk behind that, and he was just standing there messing with a tree. And then he walked over around to where we put corn out and was standing there, and I drew back on him, but that limb was still hanging in the way, so I had to sit down in my stand after I drew back, and then I took a 30-yard shot on him. And after I shot, it was real windy, so he didn't hear the bow go off or anything. And I don't think he knew what happened. I shot, and I didn't get to really see if my arrow hit him. I mean, it did. But I kind of started panicking because he didn't move. He just stood there. Looked around for like 2 seconds, and I started panicking. I was like, did I hit him? Did I miss? So I went to reach and grab another arrow, and he kind of trotted about 15 yards and was just standing there looking around. And so I watched him for a second, and he started wobbling, and that's when I knew he was going to fall over, and he did. He fell over right there. So it was good. I almost fell out of the tree stand after that. I was thanking the Lord and shaking a lot.
Oh, I hear you. I can't imagine seeing that buck and all the scenarios you're talking about. You played your cards very, very well, and I'm delighted that it turned out that way. When I talked to you on the phone the other day, I related a story to you about the biggest buck I think I ever shot at with a bow. It was a monster 12 that was just, oh my, he was all that in every regard. And there was a limb, and I had to split the limb, and I chose to go under instead of over. And I actually clipped the brisket hair on the deer. There's a longer shot than I like to take. It was 40 yards. I like my deer close with a bow. Of course, we all do if we get that shot. But at any rate, like you, I couldn't even sit down. I was shaking so hard. I thought I was going to fall out of the tree. And that, of course, elation is what we're after. Hey, I've got to go to a quick break. Colton, can you hang on? Because I want you to tell the people the characteristics, maybe some of the measurements of the deer, the mass at the bases, et cetera. He's a real freak of nature and a cool looking buck. All his antler formations are kind of at the top, like a red deer, like a stag. And he looks almost like some of those crazy stags you see from places that have red stag deer. So if you don't mind, hang on. We got to go to break here, folks. The break is presented by Mossy Oak Properties, Hart Realty. Paul Thomas is the broker. They've got more than 30 years in the business selling wildlife management properties, farms, vacation homes, and lakefront homes and getaways. Check them out at mophartrealty.com. And we're back on Jim Strader Outdoors again. We're doing deer stories tonight. We're at the mid-range of the Kentuckiana gun deer seasons here. And interestingly enough, right here in gun season, we're talking about a bow kill that Colton Nevitt harvested right here in gun season with his bow and arrow, very dedicated to archery and the sport. If you have a deer story that you'd like to relay to us tonight, we are doing open lines. By that, I mean we will take your calls to reach us. You can contact us at 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. Again, Colton, this is, in my estimation, buck of several lifetimes. I've always had dreams of a big non-typical like the one you've harvested. Had a shot at one that was nowhere near as impressive as yours, quite frankly. Yours is so daggone massive. The amount of mass that your buck carries there towards the top of his antlers is just awesome. I know it's kind of hard to describe it, but can you give us any of the maybe the configuration, the size of the bases and whatnot, because the real mass occurs actually about mid-beam and out to all those wild-looking, real ultra-thick antler tips.
Yeah, it's hard to see it in the pictures, but he does carry a lot more mass out once you get about the middle of his rack. His bases are about... one of them is a little over 5 inches. The other one's right at 5. But as you go up past what would be like his G1s, G2s out there, it gets real, real thick. On his left side, it's hard to see in pictures. But on his left side, right in between his G2 and G3, it almost palmates out real hard. And there's a lot of big, wide hits on his antlers that you could see in those photos.
Yeah, you asked me, what could cause some of those divots in those antlers like that, and I have never known. I've harvested several bucks that have those, small kind of divots or holes in the somewhere in the rack, and I honestly don't know what that's from. I've often wondered if it maybe was from an insect that had bored into the antler when the deer was in velvet, when its antler was forming and it was still soft fibrous tissue, or what that's from. But that does exhibit some real unusual characteristics. Back to the situation with your dad mentoring you and bringing you up to hunt deer. Anything in particular that you all do or that you did that you think helped harvest this deer? In other words, maybe did you stay out of there during off season? Did you have an unusual approach that enabled you to get in and out of that interior area without spooking deer? You know, what kind of things led into that?
Yeah, well, one of the big things that we did was that bedding area I was talking about earlier. We don't go in there at all. We just kind of, we logged it, let it grow up real thick. But now we don't go in there at all. We don't hunt in the bedding area. We don't, you know, really go in the bedding area at all. But we like to have good travel corridors, places that the deer will want to walk off the edge of those bedding areas. I think that's a really good way to hunt because if you come in on the right wind, you're not going to bump any deer out of the bedding areas, and you're more likely to, you know, they'll come in from the opposite side of you facing you. So I think that was a really good way to ensure, and it's a good way if you don't go into those bedding areas. I think that deer constantly live on your property and hold deer really well.
I totally agree. Every property that I manage or that I hunt, we have sanctuary areas that we don't bother the deer. You're sorely tempted to get in there and get with them, and I'm not saying you can't afford to do that, for example, during the peak of the rut or whatever, but it's a dicey move, and really you're better off on those peripheral edges on traffic patterns. And I will add here, since we're talking about that strategy, another good thing about that is when the deer in the afternoons leave the beds and go to food, you don't spook them then either. You know, you're not letting them know about your presence because they will have passed you before dark, and you slip in and out of those places, and they seldom know they're being hunted as long as you're real good about scent control.
Yes,
well,
sir.
It's a great story. I really deeply appreciate you sharing it with us. Many, many big bucks in the years to come for you, I hope. And tell Wayne, your dad, hats off to him for teaching you about the sport and sharing that buck with you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on, sir.
It's been a pure pleasure for us, Colton. All right, folks, we got to go to break. The break is presented by SMI Marine. You never get soaked at SMI.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.